The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
On today's Believe in Chicago Sports podcast, it's all beers. What is going on? Is Nagy exiting stage left with a Thanksgiving meal? Is he here to the end of the year? Who knows? We'll try to figure it all out on episode 64 now.
Welcome in to Believe in Chicago Sports, your home for the best Chicago sports talk. My name is Joey Gelman. You can follow me on Twitter at Joey Gelman. The man on the other side of Skype is Dan Collins. You can follow him on Twitter at TweetDanCollins. The show, Believe in Chicago Sports, is also on Twitter at Believe in Chicago, part of the Believe Podcast Network, the number one network for podcast professionals. All right, full transparency. We recorded this entire show about a half an hour ago. About to sign off, our entire recording stopped, deleted itself, and vanished off the face of the earth. I've checked every folder. I've checked every Skype nook and cranny you can find. And then we re-recorded to test it. Those worked. The show, gone. So we are going to try to redo the entire show we just did, and we apologize if there are any glitches and weird opinions, because we are trying to recapture the magic that was our last show, bitching about the Bears. So bear with us, no pun intended, but bear with us as we get you prepped and ready for whatever's going to happen in the Bear game on Thanksgiving, because everything that's happened before it this week has been an incredible dumpster fire of chaos. So let's start by recapping the week. It starts out with Jordan Schultz, who's Allen Robinson's podcast co-host, talking about how the Bears are in trouble. Matt Nagy has lost the locker room, and players are splintering from really following his leadership. Allen Robinson tries to walk back what his co-host had said. Obviously, he didn't say it with Allen Robinson, but, you know, like Dan and I, we're podcast co-hosts, so clearly we talk to each other on and off the air, and there's something brewing here with that. It moves along to yesterday, where Mark Conkle and Patch reported that the Bears are about to fire Matt Nagy as head coach. His last game will be Thanksgiving. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, according to his source. Chaos ensues, weird press conferences, craziness going on, instability. Come to today's reporting, where Brad Biggs said Matt Nagy did, in fact, meet with ownership. But however, it seems that Nagy is kind of okay. He's spoken to the team. Everyone's family. We all love each other. Hoorah. Then today, two reports come out regarding George McCaskey. And it's Habarkish saying that George McCaskey was the one who decided Justin Fields needed to play, usurping Nagy and Ryan Pace's power from that decision. And then also, Dan Pompey reporting that McCaskey addressed the team today and said that the reporting surrounding Matt Nagy's firing are false. We sit here now with an upcoming game against the Lions, and there's zero focus on that game because everything right now is on the dysfunction of the Bears. Are they firing Matt Nagy? Who's in charge? Is George McCaskey meddling in things he's not supposed to? All of this is absolute chaos and is reflective of just the total dysfunction that has become the Bears organization. And Dan, I don't even know where to start with this anymore, because it's a PR nightmare disaster. They couldn't have handled it any worse. And now you're sitting here going, well, what's true? Were they in fact going to fire him and the media got a hold of it and now they're not? Were they never going to fire him? Is McCaskey meddling in things he shouldn't? Why didn't they come out in front of this ahead of time? All of this just is chaos and adds to this reputation of a team and a franchise that has no idea what in the hell they're doing. So I throw it to you because my anger, I hope, will come back from the last recording of this show and come right into this one as we try to recapture the magic, because this is just crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned how you don't know where to begin with this. Yeah, it's an absolute headache. Try figuring it all out from the beginning for a second time as we record this show a second time around. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe this one will be better than the first take, because we've kind of already talked it out. And no, in the first recording that went corrupt or whatever, I don't know if we ever got to any sort of bit of a, not a conclusion. You're not going to come to a conclusion. Like, all of this is an assumption. And the way I like to put it is, you go all the way back to the very, very beginning, right? The very beginning, which is like, what, 48 hours ago, right? It wasn't even that long ago. So it all starts out. You have the Jordan Schultz, you know, go the as you mentioned, the podcast partner of Allen Robinson, coming out and saying that there's, you know, there's players in the locker room that are disgruntled. It's quite a number of players. And obviously one goes to as you know, Allen Robinson does backtrack that, right, in his comments to the media, you know, making it seem as if, you know, he's not one of the ones, you know, that's part of that source group that his co-host Jordan Schultz anonymously sourced, you know, in that report. But that was just the start of it all, right? And you look at that and you go, oh, okay, well, is there multiple players that really are? Is this just one or two trying to, you know, to get some buzz out? Like, what really is it? It's very reasonable to think that, okay, perhaps they are in this case, just the way the season's been unfolding. But then the very next day, on the heels of that report, right, you get Mark Conkle out of Patch.com, the newspaper that covers the suburban land here. And very weird, right? Because as soon as it came out, you know, I read the tweet, because that's where I get all the information, right, about this, like, right away. Like, you know, you go, you search Twitter, you go, what the hell is going on? Like, who's saying what? Then you're okay, patch.com, and then you look at it, it's, you know, Mark Conkle is a Pulitzer Prize winner, and not, I don't know what he won a Pulitzer for. I don't think it's for any sports content, but, you know, not like he's somebody on the beat for the Bears. It's just the way he mentioned it on Chicago Airwaves. It's just a story that fell into his lap. So you look at that and you go, okay, well, funny. And I mean, we're both former journalism students, right? We took a few juror classes together, and just, I'll be honest, like, just the Pulitzer Prize winning thing alone, like, you go, okay, this guy knows journalism, right? And it's not like he has anything to gain, right? He's not like a sports journalist. He has nothing to gain from dropping this story. And if anything, he only has something to lose reputation wise from reporting this. And like, if it's not true, so you go, okay, you look at that and, you know, you wonder if it's, you know, how, if it's true or false. But then everything that unfolds after that, because then the following day, which is, you know, this morning, we're recording here on Wednesday, right before, you know, day before Thanksgiving, you have the Brad Biggs report out of the Tribune, like you mentioned, saying that, oh, Nagy did indeed, like, actually did meet with ownership a couple hours after he met with the media, and then he's talking to the team, and he's not guaranteeing anything, right? If anything, I believe in that report, there was mentioned that tomorrow's never promised, but we're family, like you said. And it's weird because that almost gives that story more credibility, right? The Conkle report, like, it gives it more credibility in that case. And then, once again, as you mentioned, you get that Habarkis coming out and saying that, oh, McCaskey was actually the one who told Nagy to start Fields. So now, once again, it gives more credibility, in my opinion, to the Conkle report out of Patch.com. So, okay, so now, you know, Biggs from the Tribune is saying that Nagy meets with ownership after he meets with the media, doesn't confirm anything with the players except for that he'll be there, you know, Thursday coaching them. And then the whole news comes out about McCaskey saying, hey, get Fields out in the field. But then the one that puts a twist into everything is Dan Pompey from The Athletic, at least for me, is puts a twist into everything, is Pompey coming out and tweeting that McCaskey meets the players, talks to the players, and says, you know, the report from Conkle saying that that Nagy was going to be fired on Thursday after the game is false. So you go, wait a minute here. Well, hold on. And sure, it couldn't have been false all the way from the get-go, potentially, but why come out now, right? Like the day before the game, you're doing it like mid-afternoon time. At least that's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming when Pompey tweeted it, which was like 2:44, I think it was timestamp Central Time. I'm thinking like roughly around like, so it was sometime today, I'm assuming that took place. You know, that his source is telling him that today. I'm assuming today is when McCaskey told the team. So you wait till the following day to confirm that report isn't true. And to me, it's like, well, why didn't you just come out from the get-go? Because if you didn't want to give it oxygen, right, if you didn't want to give that initial report oxygen, then just don't say anything. If you've changed your mind, or if that wasn't your mindset from the beginning and the report was false, just play the game tomorrow. However it pans out, doesn't matter. If anything, you give yourself more credibility if you were to go in and say lose to the Lions and not fire him, right? Like, then you could say no. Well, like, yeah, you could talk to the media on Monday or Tuesday or whatever and say, yeah, see, we told you so. Like, this was never going to happen. So I don't get it. I don't know why you just didn't get ahead of it, or if you chose to not get ahead of it, why are you trying now to like get in the mix of it? It's either you didn't get ahead of it, you missed the boat. If you change your mind, let it sail away. So you go back and forth on how much of the initial report was true, because it really goes back to the patch report. How much of that was really true? How much of that is not true since what we've learned recently? And it's all just a big mess, right? It's all just a big mess. And once again, definitely not handled correctly by the Chicago Bears. At least, how can you say it was?
Right, and that's what makes no sense about all this is because, you know, you're debating what's false, not false, what have you. But it's if it really is true, and this is what they were thinking, and this all gets leaked out, then just fire him already. Like, why have this weird back and forth about what's happening, what's real, who's not telling the truth, who's telling the truth, mixed reporting? Just nip it in the bud. But this organization doesn't know how to get in front of things.
Well, and now they're saying that's not the case, though.
I guess, but you know, it's really strange. Like, I don't get how they're just this dysfunctional in how they do PR. And like, I think, I don't know, personally, I think there is some truth to it. I think this fire Nagy chanting all around the city, including Soldier Field, is getting to this ownership. It's same fire Garpax, it's becoming a national embarrassment. People are fed up and pissed. And so, like George would say, mother is pissed. So there's a part of me that thinks it's true, right? But there's also this difficulty in juxtaposing two things, right? It's, okay, they could be really fed up and really truthfully debating that they want to get rid of Nagy. But there's also the other side of the coin from Hub Argus's reporting about McCaskey saying he wants Fields to be the starter. Well, if you are ownership and you tell Matt Nagy you want Fields to be the starter and Matt Nagy says no, well, then what does McCaskey come back with? Well, don't worry. We want you to develop him. It's not the wins and losses aren't going to matter this year. Okay, well, that's a different story. Then he's not on the hook for anything, and he just can develop as is. But it's gotten so bad and so inept and so brutal to watch and to root for. It's weighing on everybody, and that's where I think there is some credence to this report, because everyone's just tired of this, and it's got to have some merit to it. And it also just, it's like there's like eight different stories, right? It's like, why is this person meddling? Does this have merit? How could they have done this so badly? Why don't they fire him now? Are they going to fire him? It's just, it's the last thing you should be talking about before a game, and no one even cares about the damn game anymore on Thanksgiving.
I just don't know how, as soon as that report gets out, if it's really not true, how you're just not that ahead of the game on this, right? How like you just don't come
exactly
out and say, no, it's not true.
Right. Come out if you're George McCaskey and you go, I want to set the record straight. This is not true. Matt Nagy is our guy. No matter if the fans like it or not, he's coming out and telling the truth, saying he's our guy. He's not going anywhere. This is false. But they haven't really done that fully, you know, and I'll go back. I know we talked about it on our last recording of this show, but I'll go back to the point of the Pompey tweet, right? And it says, you know, McCaskey said to the team that the report was false. But is that really doubling down on your stance on the coach, right? Because if the report is false, that means that regardless of the outcome, Matt Nagy was the idea that Matt Nagy was going to be fired is not true. That's what you're agreeing with is not true. There's the carve out in there that very well could be that if they do lose, they still can fire him, which I know is a crazy grasp of straws, and I could be mincing and parsing every word Dan Pompey's reporting, but it's there for me to pick at, so I'm going to pick at it because it could be true. If you lose to the winless Lions after everything that's happened this week, how do you even survive next week in sports talk or in anything? No one's going to be caring. You're going to be 3-8 with the Packers and the Cardinals and the Vikings and coming up. It's you may not win again.
No, and it's a good pick, but again, I just don't see how, if it's still on the table, that if you lose badly enough or if certain things happen in the game on tomorrow, because we're recording this on Wednesday, if certain things happen in that Thanksgiving showdown against the Lions, that he could very well still be fired. I don't know why you go, especially because you didn't say anything initially. I don't know why you then go to the players and say, you make it a point to go to them and say that it's false. If in your head, you know, it is still on the table that he potentially can be fired at the end of it. Cause you're right. All they're saying is, they're only saying the report isn't true. But that's not saying that, well, the report can be false, but we could still get rid of him whenever we want. But how petty would that be? Right? Like, think about if you were a player, put yourself in their cleats. If you were told that as a player that, hey, no matter what, if they go to you and say, hey, you might have heard that there's reports that we already told coach that on Monday he's gone no matter what, but we came to this gentleman's agreement that he's going to coach Thursday's game. And then Thursday's game goes poorly or doesn't go as say ownership wants it to go, and they get rid of the coach anyways. You wouldn't say like, oh, wow, to you as a player, wouldn't that be a little petty? And sure, like, technically speaking, if that's how they want to word it and if that's how they want to spin it, if it does go out that way, okay, whatever. But how obnoxious would that be? And they've been handling this thing so obnoxiously anyways that, no, it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibilities. But I think it's just silly. And one thing I think we definitely do have to mention here is because it's McCaskey, right, who is the one who's talking to the players. And he's the owner. He can do whatever the heck he wants. And apparently, according to Hub Marcus, he's the one that told Nagy to start Fields. And it's like, well, where's Pace? Who's making these decisions? Like, and I get, like, you never hear from Pace in this town, but it's still like, if that report was somewhat true, was it like a pure ownership thing, just like how it apparently was with Fields and like this is what they want? Pace is like your top football guy, supposedly, and like Phillips has nothing to do with it. McCaskey doesn't muddle with things, even though apparently he does. So like, where's Pace in all this? Like, why isn't Pace the one if he is your top football guy and he's the guy who literally hires, if he doesn't leave with Nagy, if and when Nagy's gone, then he's the one who will hire the next guy unless he's gone. At least that's how the chain of command supposedly works. So it's like there's that thrown into the mix too that's mind-boggling. And I don't know. I think it makes for a very, very interesting game tomorrow, even though the way I'm taking it, which is a little different than you are, Joey, is that I'm going into it thinking that they're not going to let this guy go. And think about it this way. If that report was 100% true and they did, because the report isn't that they have made up their mind to fire Nagy no matter what. Part of that report was also that they told him, right? Well, wasn't part of it that they informed him?
Yeah, they informed him. Yeah.
So can you imagine if that part was true and they backtrack on it now, like what would have been done? Is Nagy giving them a phone call and begging for his job? Or, and once again, this is only if that part's true. If that's true, and also the McCaskies are half lying about the report being true and like they just had a change of heart, like if that's the case, then how the heck did that play out? So there's so much weird things with that. And it was funny because, as I already mentioned, everything was lining up to giving that Conkle story more credibility. To me, the Brad Biggs report earlier from the Tribune earlier with Nagy did meet with ownership and then he's not guaranteeing a timeline to his players and that he's canceling meetings, to me, gives more credibility. The Hub Arkers report of, you know, McCaskey telling Nagy to play Justin Fields reminds me like of the Moneyball scene, right? Where like Billy Beane and ownership's going back and forth on who's going to be the starting first baseman or whatnot. And but that almost gave the Conklin report more, you know, it made it seem more credible. But then the Pompeii thing just turns it all around, and it's all silly once again, like I've already mentioned. But and then it goes into just to me now. It's like, okay, I'm just going to go. I'm going to view this damn game, and it's weird, like. Watching it, like I just think that the McCaskies changed their mind is what most likely happened. But like you said, I guess in my head too, I guess there is still a little bit of me that thinks if this goes poorly, he could be gone. So who the heck knows? No matter what, we know something's true, Joey. The way they handle it, and because they handle it this way and didn't get right out in front of it, it's going to be mentioned probably at least once a quarter on the broadcast.
Oh, easily. And that's why their ineptitude is causing this thing, like you've said, to have an extra chance at life here. I mean, it's if they got out in front of everything, whether they were firing him or they weren't, it's done. It's over. This is going to be a story all day during the game.
It's also, think about this. Sorry to cut you off, Joey, as you get the mic again, but it's also Bears versus Lions, two backup quarterbacks, winless Lions, the Bears who basically because of the last week's debacle pretty much put themselves out of the playoff race. What's the broadcast going to be doing?
But exactly.
They're looking for storylines, and you're handing it to them. And I don't know if that's part of the thought process, but hello, you run a football team. It should. So they're going to take that, and they're going to eat it up. That should your head PR guy should have been telling you this, like, oh, wow. Like, that should all be known as there's – you know how – I mean – on these broadcasts, like they'll take a storyline and run with it, right? Especially if it's a meaningless game. So how are you not ahead of it even for that reason? Because you didn't care? I don't know.
I just think they don't know how to do any of this stuff. I mean, it's really like it's a bad rec league team sometimes. It's weird. It's like, okay, it's one of three things. Ineptitude and idiocy. It's true or it's false. And we're sitting here because of their history, not knowing which one I can confidently believe in, because based on their hirings and dealing with crisis and everything, ineptitude's up there, right? But then if they're not telling the truth, well, that's also been something, because even just this year, they told you for weeks, Andy Dalton's a starter when healthy, and then on a dime, they changed it. There's no way George McCaskey told Matt Nagy this like a day before or 3 days before the Raiders game. They knew if that was a directive, and they didn't tell you. They flat out didn't tell you that. So they have a history in two out of three of being inept and liars. So you sit here not really knowing what to expect, but it's just crazy to me. Like we can bitch and moan about the coaching and who should be and who should stay, who should whatever. But the fact that it's coming from the team, that all these reporters are getting these different stories about guaranteed firing, not guaranteed firing, he's lost the locker room, he's not lost the locker room, who's starting the quarterback. It's like, it almost screams of just everyone kind of like abandoning ship. And I heard that today on one of the other shows of, you know, some of the stuff doesn't get out if you're winning or if you have a tight-knit group. Something's got to be, you know, tearing at the seams a little bit when this stuff starts to leak out. And it's clear there's a problem here. It's just a matter of if they go against their history and actually get rid of the guy in mid-season, and if any of this was true. Because, I mean, everyone was pretty pissed off after last weekend's game, including yours truly. So, you know, it was a perfect time to do it, but if you're going to do it and this shit comes out, get rid of him already. Don't go into this game. Like you said, that's the only thing that's going to be talked about for 3 hours as I'm trying to get comfy on the couch to get ready to stuff my face with turkey.
Well, they might have changed their mind. Like I said, it's either they changed their mind or it was false from the beginning. Like, those are the only two things that are basically true. Like, either that report was legit false, they fumbled the ball, pun intended, and didn't get ahead of it and say that it was false, or it was true and they changed their mind. And It's just absolutely silly. And I think, and you know, what does it necessarily matter? But I look at the Conkle report, and we're both juror students, right? And you know, you're talking about a Pulitzer Prize winner who that tells me like, okay, they know how to report. And once again, has nothing to gain from it. He's not, you know, like, he doesn't cover the Bears, you know, for Patch. It's new stuff. I took like just a quick brief scroll of his Twitter timeline. It looks like, you know, it's mostly new stuff. And the thing is like, okay, if you're in that position, and it seemed like to one source, I didn't hear anything about sources, like nothing plural, who would that source have to be then for you to say, yep, this is something we could still run with? It's one source, and this is worth running, right? Like, it had to be, like, it can't be just a player going out there and saying, like, oh, because, you know, even if your mom told you, so, right, like, go and get another opinion, right? That's what one of the funky phrases or whatnot. I don't know if that's what it is verbatim in juris school they teach you or whatnot. But so it's like there had to be a high enough source, right, for Patch to say, yeah, let's run with this. At least that's what I would hope. So, I mean, to say that, you know, some Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, like, threw that out there just because, that's really weird. I don't know what they gained from that. And like I said, somebody should know that is credible enough to where people are definitely going to not only be talking about it, but thinking it's credible enough that it could definitely be something. So that's why you get out ahead of it, especially when you're going into a Thanksgiving game where, you know, Buck is going to be looking for storylines, and you know, you have two backup quarterbacks. That's what it's going to be. So you have to get ahead of that. So I don't know. I guess the way we could wrap it up with the mindset here, Joey, is, as we do this for a second time again, is like, going into that game and after the game, like, if he's not fired, which apparently he's not going to be, once that's how I'm looking at the words that McCaskey put out earlier today, that was sourced from Dan Pompey of The Athletic, I don't know. It's like, how do you feel? How do you, you know, the fire Nagy chance will probably still be going on. I have a buddy at an AEW event at the Wintrust Arena tonight who apparently there's fire Nagy chance there, and they're going to probably keep happening if you keep them around. I mean, there's you're a season ticket holder. There's quite a few more home games you have to go to where I'm sure you're going to hear that. So it's weird. If you don't do it, then when, like, I think he's gone at the end of the year, no matter what. I mean, I don't see this getting any better, and I don't know if they changed their mind because they said, screw it, let's just let him ride it out, because we have made up our mind that there's a 99% chance, unless he goes undefeated the rest of the year and shows tremendous growth, that he's donezo. So you're not really going to make it much easier for him, right? Like, if there's still some debacles at Soldier Field, those Fire Nagy chance might get louder now because of this whole report thing, right?
Yeah. Well, it's like I told you, like, I've never heard that. Like, going to games for 15 plus years, I've heard some crazy crap at a game, but I've never heard an entire stadium chant to fire the coach. Not only fire the coach, but on a drive that the Bears had a chance to win the big game. I know it was slim, but they had the ball back to drive down the field, and they're telling him to get fired. So it's not pretty. And that's what's frustrating, is you go, okay, no matter what happens, what am I looking at the rest of the year? Because I kind of think there's some merit to it, and now that all this has happened, they're too chicken to do it. And they're kind of sitting here now stuck because they're scared to deal with it, and they don't want to deal with it.
But if it is 100% true, and you did tell him, once again, that would mean you told Nagy on Monday, then he knows he's a lame duck, and now you're saying, like, oh, it's okay, coach the rest of the year, and, oh, maybe you can also save your job.
Well,
like,
okay, but you're right, because that's the factor I'm not considering that I may need to, is that part of the story that said he was informed he will be let go Thursday. That's a different animal, if that's true, because then how do you even function? You were told by your boss you're going to get fired.
Right.
The media got crazy. Okay, now you're not fired now, but you are fired in February.
Right. How would you think you could save your job? Like, you could go into that meeting on Monday and make the gentleman's agreement that it's a short week, you'll coach Thanksgiving. What an effing terrible way to go out on Thanksgiving, like, knowing that that's your last game. But if that's the case, now what, you extend this gentleman's agreement, like, in your head, you know, there's pretty much nothing you could probably do to save your job at the end of the year. So, like, I don't know how you do that. I don't know how. If, once again, if that report is true, if it's not, then obviously you could still kind of make sense of it. But the fact that I mean, even think about it still. If you're in Nagy's position and that report comes out, and if it is true, here's the craziest part about it too, is that he doesn't talk to ownership until 2 hours after, supposedly that's what that he talked to me. Like, how did they not give you a quick phone call right then and there if it was false? And maybe they did and he didn't, like, mention it. Like, you know, potentially they did. But if that's true too, if it is true that you don't talk to ownership 2 hours after, like, these report, there would be more than 2 hours after. It was 2 hours after supposedly he met the media. So if you're not talking to ownership until hours after this report apparently came out, what? Like, sure, like, they don't have to come out to the public and say this is false, but how is he not? If you're Nagy, how are you not in the line with them and say, excuse me, you told me what? Like, that's just all funny to me. Like, and that needs to be talked out a little more. But, like, I get it. Maybe you're the owners, you're super busy, but guess what? Who do you own? The Chicago Bears. Who's the guy running the team for you or running the team on the field for you? Matt Nagy. They said you fired him. You want to shoot the guy a text or a phone call? And I'm sure that's how it went down, but maybe it didn't, and that's weird to me too. Like, if you're Nagy, like, how do you feel good that your team, that the ownership didn't get ahead of this for you right away?
Right, and I mean, they may have talked before privately, but yeah, I don't get how you'd want to sit here as the face of the franchise knowing that nobody kind of came to defend you until it was too late about your job security. And think about if you're a player, right? They don't have my back if I'm a player. And if I'm a player wanting to come here, oh, I know this ownership doesn't have my back. You know, it's just, it's very weird. It's very, very weird.
Yep. Well, we talked a whole lot about the Bears-Lions game coming up
for your
Thanksgiving morning special. Before we wrap it up, I want two predictions from you, Joey. I want a score prediction. And even though McCaskey says otherwise, I want a will he be fired or not at the end of the game prediction. Give me both.
Boy. I mean, you have to beat the Lions, right? Like, I it's weird.
Maybe.
Wow. Okay. I will do a 17-14 Lions win. Nagy's fired. That will be what my Thursday will be.
Wow. I was actually going to go with, like, a 2017 Bears win, Nagy stays, not because the result is a win, because I think even if they lose, unless it's like by, you know, 20 points or something, but if they lose by a score, two scores, I don't know. Well, if it gets into two score range, who knows? But yeah, I'm going with 2017 and Matt Nagy stays.
All right. So. Well, hey, last thing before you wrap this puppy up. Last year, we had our Thanksgiving food power rankings. I just want to see if you're still on track with
biscuits.
So you had
biscuits.
You had number one, mac and cheese. Number two, or baked mac and cheese. Excuse me, I got to be specific.
Yes,
two biscuits, three stuffing. Do you stand by your rankings?
Yes.
Mac and cheese, biscuit, yes. Stuffing.
100%. Mac and cheese and biscuits are 1A, 1B. Has to be baked, of course. And then stuffing is definitely going to come in third place, or, you know, 2A, right behind them. I literally only have stuffing once a year. It's for Thanksgiving. It's also delicious, but sorry, I'm not going to have it any other time than Thanksgiving, unless, like, maybe I'm somewhere and they randomly have it. So, yes, that is 100% still my power ranking.
Okay, good. I don't want to scare the viewers off.
Really, did you try the baked mac and cheese last year sometime? Was it, like, during any part of the holidays? Because I remember I kind of sold you on it, but I don't know if it was throughout the holiday season or something.
I think we made it during the holiday, not for Thanksgiving, because...
Right, I remember.
But we did do it, like, later in the year, and it was fantastic. So it's, again, now that I'm back home in Chicago... I kind of have some fights to pick to try to get new things on the menu with my family. So not this year, but I'll try to swindle them on it for next year because it's damn good.
There we go. Well, to all the fans out there, jump on Joey's Twitter at Joey Gelman and tell him get the baked mac and cheese going. That's going to wrap this one up. Definitely – If you're listening to this before the game or even after the game, I'm sure, however it is you're dissecting this talk we had here, going to be very interesting after the outcome of the matchup between the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. I myself, as I wrap it up, also on Twitter at @TweetDanCollins. This fine show is there, Believe in Chicago. As always, we're brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. We'll catch you next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.